Take your Bibles now and turn with me again, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 5 down through verse 13. Listen to God's word. And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Our subject today is the faith of Mephibosheth. The common error amongst religious circles today is the wrong conception of what it takes to be saved. Multitudes are told week after week that faith is necessary for salvation, but which is so. But these same folks are told to exercise their faith in Christ, and salvation is assured. What is wrong with this is no sinner has any faith with which he is to be saved. The gospel sets forth in clear terms this reality, and in the final aspect of the message, these individuals are told to come forward and exercise their faith, and then they are told that they have been converted. This is a fallacy because this method absolutely goes contrary to the truth of God. Lest I be misunderstood and misrepresented, and many times I am, you listen carefully to the following passages of Scripture, if you will. The first is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, where we read, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, where we read again, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now turn again to 1 Corinthians 12:3. We read, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Last of all, we call your attention to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23, where we read, But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now these and many other portions of Scripture clearly teach the helplessness of the individual to do one thing regarding his salvation. Will you answer this question at this time? Did you exercise your faith in Christ, or was the faith of Christ revealed unto you? Have you ever stood before God as a lost, guilty, helpless sinner, unable to do one solitary thing, unable to believe, knowing that if God didn't give you the faith, you never would believe, and you wondered if God would ever impart it unto you. Listen, my friend, I hope for your sake this has taken place, because this alone is that which results in eternal salvation. When somebody tells you that you're saved, you better not believe it. You better have the Lord God of heaven tell you that you're converted, because He is the only one that can tell you this. And I want to say to you very kindly, no sinner ever gets saved without the revelation of Christ to that sinner's heart. And when this revelation comes, the Lord God of heaven indelibly writes it upon the individual that that person has been converted. When my Lord saves a sinner, that individual is granted the faith to believe Christ. And this faith is once revealed and delivered, with the result that the individual always believes Christ. Mephibosheth is a classic example in the Old Testament of how faith is granted to the individual by the Lord. Take your Bibles now and go back with me, if you will, 2 Samuel chapter 9 And look with me at verses 5 through 8, where we read, "Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Here in this portion of the Word of God, which we've just read, we find the fulfillment of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where the Scripture declares these words, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." David sets forth the grace of a sovereign to a rebel who should have been killed. But instead, the rebel was exalted, forgiven, blessed, and adopted into the family of the king, all by sheer sovereign grace. In like manner, what David did to Mephibosheth, so my Lord does to every individual he ever saves. It was grace that brought Mephibosheth into the presence of David. It was grace that caused David even to deal with Mephibosheth. It was grace that caused David to speak kindly unto Mephibosheth. And it was grace which not only forgave this rebel, but it was grace also that kept Mephibosheth all the rest of his life. What happened to this man is a picture of what happens to every individual when my Lord saves that person. Now you face this reality with me, if you will. Has this ever happened to you? Oh, I hope and pray that it has. While David was gracing Mephibosheth, faith also entered into the picture, as it always does when our Lord saves a sinner. Look again at verse 8 of our text, where we read these words, "And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Here we see the apprehension of true faith, as well as the gratitude and the humility of true faith. Listen carefully now. Listen like you've never listened before. True faith does not argue, dispute, or reject the word of the king. Let me illustrate this fact, if I may. Mephibosheth had the naked word of King David to go on, and nothing else. He did not argue, reject, or dispute what David declared unto him. The reason is clear. Mephibosheth had faith revealed unto him so that he could believe David. This faith given to him suddenly, sovereignly, and freely. Evidence of this faith is seen in the words, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Now, isn't that blessed? Oh, I hope and pray you can understand what I'm talking about. Mephibosheth apprehended the meaning of King David's words, and he exhibited his gratitude and humility in the expression, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" One moment this man, Mephibosheth, was in the presence of the king, fearful and ignorant of what David had in store for him. And the next moment, he was gripped with the apprehension that David was not his enemy, but instead his sovereign Savior and benefactor as well as his Lord. What happened to this man is a picture of what happens to every individual when my Lord reaches down and delivers us. One moment we are fearful, ignorant, and apprehensive. And the next moment we are restored, adopted, and adoring the one who has graced us with these benefits. I dare say Mephibosheth was filled with such an amazement that he could hardly believe what was happening to him. And beloved, the same thing takes place when our God saves us. You see, my beloved radio friends, salvation is an instantaneous salvation. But listen now, it is also an experiential salvation. While grace is bestowed upon us, enabling us to believe, the faith with which we do believe is not an ignorant faith. Now you let that soak in. You don't have an ignorant faith if God has really saved you. My Lord never saves a sinner in ignorance. because every individual who is truly saved knows what has happened to him. Mephibosheth here also is no exception. Mephibosheth recognized in David what every individual recognizes in Christ if they are ever truly converted. This comes instantly as because it is a part of our salvation. Now, what in the world did Mephibosheth recognize in David? He recognized in David these certain realities. This is what they are. Mephibosheth saw David as his Lord, his Savior, his friend, his provider, and his keeper. And beloved, this is also true in the life of every individual when our Lord saves us. You see, salvation is the revelation of Christ to the heart of the individual as that person's all-sufficient Lord and Savior. Now, Mephibosheth recognized David as his Lord. Do you? You don't get saved and crown Christ as Lord. No, sir, my friend. It's Lord and Savior first of all. Now, let's see how all this was evidenced in Mephibosheth for just a moment, if you will. In verse 6, we read that Mephibosheth fell on his face and reverenced. And listen, what did he do? He called himself the servant of David. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. Here you see Mephibosheth recognizing the lordship of David. He knew that David could save him or let him go. He expected the worst, but to his utter amazement, the Lord God of heaven, or David, I should say, picturing the Lord God of heaven, was giving him the best. In verse 8, Mephibosheth called himself a dead dog, while in verse 13, Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem and did eat bread at the king's table continually as one of the king's sons. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. You don't read of this having to grow into these positions as realities. They were his at once. The same is true at this present hour. True faith sees in Christ his all-sufficiency and worships Christ as Lord, Savior, friend, keeper, and provided. This is what is meant when the Lord Jesus is revealed to the individual heart as that person's absolute, all-sufficient Lord and Savior. Now let me ask you a question at this hour. Is this true with you, my friend, or are you struggling to apprehend Christ? The sad mark of today is the absolute ignorance of the so-called converts, but this sets forth that the vast majority have never truly been converted. There's another mark of faith set forth in the true faith, because true faith is a receiving faith. Now again, what in the world are we talking about? In verse 7, Mephibosheth heard and believed the words spoken by David to him. This is what he said, Fear not, for I will surely show thee the kindness of Jonathan for thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Mephibosheth received forgiveness, restoration, and communion from King David. And in like manner, my Lord gives the same to every sinner who is ever converted by and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, this is such a great aspect of the truth that we just wish we had 3 hours to tell you all about it, but we can only give it to you in these few short moments that are left. Notice, too, that it was the king himself who spoke these words to this sinner. Now listen carefully. No one else is involved, and nor is anyone involved today when the Lord Jesus Christ saves an individual. This transaction takes place between Christ and the sinner and no one else. Now, you answer me this question, if you will. Has this revelation ever come to you from the Lord? Now, how does it come? It comes through, and only through, His Word. If this is foreign to you, you had better go back and see if the so-called faith you have is a genuine, revealed faith of the Lord given unto you. Mephibosheth received first forgiveness from David, for he knew what it meant to be a rebel in the sight of the king. Then he received the restoration from the king. Preacher, what do you mean? Restoration to the favor of the king. And put it down. It's a picture of God's justification. And then he received the privilege of continual communion with the king. What a marvelous reality this is. Listen to it, if you will. Look at what it says. And Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Now what do you have here? He received the privilege of continual communion with the king. He sat at the king's table in his presence, and ate bread before and with the king continually. Last of all, he lived in a place provided by the king. Mephibosheth was kept by the power of David, and in like manner, we who are saved are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now let me leave this with you, if I may. Do you think Mephibosheth ever got over or away from what happened to him? No, sir, my friend. And in like manner, when my Lord saves a sinner, these same realities are written with indelible letters upon the heart of that person. There's no think so, guess so, hope so, surmise so, work so, or wonder so, or anything like that. No, sir. Mephibosheth knew what had happened to him. He had been brought into the presence of the king. The king had spoken to him and had pardoned him, and Mephibosheth absolutely knew it. And my friend, today, we are also, when we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and there is none other way. Now, in this closing moment, I want to ask you a question. What about you at this hour? Were you able to go down the line with me, and can you say, oh, Pastor, I just got saved all over again? Or is all this foreign in your heart? You know, when we set forth these truths, it warms our hearts all over again. And I've had people come and tell me, Pastor, I feel like I got saved all over again, because it was such a thrill to go over what had happened to me when the Lord saved me. Oh, my friend, remember, God has but one way to save a sinner. It's by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is a revealed faith. It's revealed to you by the Lord God of heaven. How long Mephibosheth was at the feet of David, we don't know. But we do know this, that David spoke to him and said, fear not. And my hope is that God will do the same thing to you if you're not saved. Oh, until we meet again, my prayer is that the Lord will save you even now. And may he save you before it's too late.